Hello, and welcome to Tantramar Report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, and the traditional and unceded lands of the Mi'kmaq people. I'm Erica Butler. It's Monday, September 13th. Coming up on today's show, a report looking into workplace bullying and harassment at the Sackville Fire Department comes with 20 recommendations for change, but will remain secret, according to a town statement released on Friday. Local journalist Bruce Wark spoke with former firefighter Kevin Scott to get his reaction to the report, and that's coming up shortly. Also, skateboards are back at town council. The opportunity for citizens to weigh in on next year's budget is coming, and today is the last day of advanced polling for the federal election, which takes place in just 7 days. September 20th will be more than just election day in Sackville. Town Council will gather for a special meeting to hear from local residents and groups about priorities for the 2022 budget. Last year, Town Council heard from several previously funded groups and organizations: Renaissance Sackville, Sackville Minor Hockey, the Sackville Skate Club, Rural Rides, Live Bait Theater, Sappy Fest, and Levy on the Lake all presented, mostly reporting on what they had done with previous funding from the town. Two residents presented their ideas for new or continued budget priorities. Wendy Alder called for beautification of the area around Exit 506. Another resident, Alex Thomas, made a pitch for further investment in the town's skate park. Anyone who wants to present needs to contact the clerk by tomorrow, September 14th. Sackville Town Council meets tonight for their regular monthly council meeting, and skateboards are back on the agenda. Last month, a revised bylaw that lifts the outright ban on skateboards on town streets squeaked by with first reading. This month, the revised bylaw faces second reading. Councillors appear evenly split on the issue, with Councillors Finney, Tower, Hicks, and Estabrooks coming out against lifting the ban, and Councillors Evans, Dietz, Butcher, and Black in favor. Last month, Bruce Finney was absent, and so the first reading passed, 4-3. If there's a tie tonight at council, the mayor will be asked to cast a vote as tiebreaker. Advanced polling for the federal election is open today from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the Tantramar Veterans Memorial Civic Center. Today is the last day of advanced polling, but of course, people will still be able to cast their vote on Election Day, Monday, September 20th, in 7 days. There's also still time to register to vote by mail. To do so, electors need to fill out a form online at elections.ca before 6 p.m. on Tuesday, September 14th. To vote in person, you'll need a piece of government-issued ID or else two other documents identifying you and your address. Mount Allison students can either vote in the Beauséjour riding or cast a ballot for another riding that they consider their home riding. To vote in a riding other than Beauséjour, students need to take action before 6 p.m. on September 14th. They can either request a mail-in kit by that time, or they can go vote in person with a special ballot at the Elections Canada office. In Sackville, Elections Canada is located at the Sackville Curling Club on 22 Lansdowne. Students voting in Sackville will need to show their current address along with other voters. Students who have just moved to residence from outside of the riding can get a letter from the university confirming their current address. A former Sackville firefighter says he's disappointed that no one is being held responsible for the way members of the town's fire department have been treated over the last 5 years. Kevin Scott made his comments on Saturday, the day after he attended a briefing on the results of an independent workplace assessment of Sackville Fire and Rescue. In April, the town hired Montana Consulting Group of Moncton to conduct the assessment after current and former firefighters complained about persistent bullying, discrimination, favoritism, and harassment in the fire department. They also complained that certain firefighters were allowed to ignore safety rules. Kevin Scott made those complaints public when he sent a local journalist his own and several other letters of resignation that firefighters had submitted to the fire chief. He counted 17 such resignations in the space of 4 years. Scott says complaints in the letters were ignored by the fire chief, two chief administrative officers for the town, a former mayor, and members of town council. In a statement posted on its website on Friday, the town promised to address Montana's 20 recommendations for change. It also said that the consultant's report and recommendations would not be released to the public because they deal with HR or human resources matters. During an interview on Saturday, journalist Bruce Wark asked Kevin Scott what he thought of the briefing that Montana Consulting had conducted for current and former firefighters the night before.
It was an interesting meeting. The first thing they did talk about was the fact that because there were some HR issues happening, that they wanted us to respect the confidentiality of, so I am going to do that. I mean, that's, I want to respect that as well. But basically, the Montana group presented us with recommendations based on the workplace assessment that they completed.
Right. And so what can you tell me about that?
I can't really go into a whole lot of details about the recommendations, but there was roughly 20. I didn't count them all out, but roughly 20 recommendations that were presented to us over a bunch of different topics as well. So I guess for us, the recommendations were, you know, that the town and the CAO both basically said that they are going to make sure that all of these recommendations are fulfilled.
Right. And so from the meeting, it sounds like Montana took the allegations of bullying, harassment, and all those other things seriously.
Well, that that there kind of left a sore spot with me. I feel that the town, or the, it was acknowledged, yes, but do I feel it was addressed, you know, to my satisfaction? No, it was not, in my opinion.
And why would you say that? What was it about the presentation that made you feel that they hadn't really addressed those allegations?
Well, for me, right from day one, I talked about the harassment, the bullying, the favoritism. And that's kind of what brought me out to talk about all of this. And in my opinion, I felt that people should be held accountable for their actions. And for me, that didn't happen.
I thought that you might be telling me this morning that that the fire chief was stepping down or something like that, but it doesn't sound like that.
No. As far as I know, no. That's not the case.
Right.
But, yeah, for me, I really wanted accountability. I mean, on the fire grounds, that is what everything, you know, everything is around accountability. Everyone has to be accounted for. Everyone has a job to do. So accountability is a huge thing in the fire grounds. And to me, it makes, how do I put it? You know, I think accountability should have been held here as well. And to me, that didn't happen.
Okay. Can you say anything else about last night's meeting? How did people react there?
Well, I mean, I think there was a lot of positive. Don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah. The recommendations are great recommendations. And if they're all fulfilled, I mean, it's great for the fire department. It's going to be a lot of positive change. I'll tell you, there is a lot of work on the town council to make sure that these recommendations are implemented. There's a lot of work there. It's not going to happen overnight.
Kevin Scott resigned from Sackville Fire and Rescue in December 2020 and has since joined the fire department in Pointe du Butte. He says he has no plans at present to return to the one in Sackville. Mount Allison says that 1,700 students have already registered their vaccination status with the university, and 95% of those people say they are fully vaccinated. Back in August, the university announced that as of October 1st, students, staff, and faculty will either need to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 or they will be asked to submit to regular testing for the disease. So far, just students have been asked to register their vaccine status online. The university says a similar process for faculty and staff is coming on or around September 20th. On Friday, the university announced a few more details about the testing procedure for those who refuse to register their vaccine status or those who refuse to get fully vaccinated. The testing will happen twice per week using Government of New Brunswick rapid tests and is expected to last through the fall at least. The university says it needs to know how many people will require testing before determining the details of administering tests. And finally today, PEI has closed 19 Charlottetown area schools for 3 days after a number of COVID-19 cases were detected in children at a local elementary school and a high school. In a news release Sunday, Public Health PEI reported 6 new cases in people under 19 years of age. 4 of those are in kids under 10. The release says this is the first school outbreak in PEI since the beginning of the pandemic. There are currently 14 active cases of COVID-19 in PEI. 83% of PEI's eligible population have been fully vaccinated. The province says there are about 40,000 people in the province, including kids under 12, who have not been vaccinated. That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Monday, September 13th. As always, to get in touch, email us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.